You seem to be so wild and aggressive, but are there, like, you know, like, more softer sides? Do you cry in private? Privacy?
Corey cries all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, just the other day, I was watching the pornographic version of Bambi, and I was saying to myself, you know, I really wish I was there helping out in any way I could. And I started to tear up a little bit, yeah, especially when, you know, the den mother started to get drilled by the sex drill. And, yeah, I'm kind of an emotional guy when it comes to that.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Stand By Your Band, the podcast where comedians and actors and other sorts of people, people from all walks of life, come on to defend music that they enjoy, that other people shit all over. And that was kind of Irish. Shit all over. It was St. Patrick's Day this week, so we're all feeling the bug. I am Tom Dekar, and I am, of course, joined by the Prince of Snarkness, himself, Tommy McNamara.
Jesus, Maddie and Slipknot.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. So that clip I just played was from a German interview. And while he's talking about the Bambi porn, doing a very bad bit, the clown guy is just throwing a chair around the room. So that's the noise you're hearing.
I wondered what that was.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So look up that video. It's in the 10 most bizarre Slipknot interviews.
That was very uncomfortable. We're talking Slipknot today with our guest. We got to introduce our guest, visiting from the land of the wind, Chicago, that is. Give it up for Nicky Martin, everybody.
Oh, hello. Very good to see you. Hello. Oh, this is how I really talk.
Saint Nick.
You to make fun of me right before you introduce me.
I got a little Italian at the end.
Yeah, mozzarella.
Mi scusi, that's my leprechaun. Wait, so while we're on this page, I want to play the preview for the Larry King interview they did really quick.
Oh, hold on.
On Larry King Now, I'm joined by heavy metal royalty. It's Slipknot and Stone Sour frontman Corey Taylor.
How competitive are the two bands?
Quiet, you know.
So how do you deal with that?
It's weird, you know. Sometimes I feel like I've got two mistresses, you know.
Is this true? You initially planned on lighting bins of camel feces on fire at Rockfest? This is an obvious question. Why?
Why? I love that.
It's so funny to hear Larry King say Stone Sour.
Yeah. I'm glad, any of that was interesting for him to say. All the
feces.
Words he said, yeah, feces is great.
Corey Taylor really knew how to relate to Larry one-on-one, being like, okay, Larry, imagine you have many mistresses.
Yeah, that's so funny. I like how it's not like a mistress and a wife, it's just two mistresses.
Yeah, anybody I'm in a relationship with is a mistress.
That's like that Goodfellas quote, like, Friday was for the mistresses, but Saturday was for the mistresses.
The other mistresses. Man, that's great. And Tommy, you have several mistresses.
Of course.
So you relate.
Well, you know my old teacher, Miss Tress.
Of course, yeah.
Old girls' night.
Oh, yeah.
Did we mention that we're talking about Slipknot? Well, they saw it.
Yeah. We're talking Slipknot. I said that at the very beginning, I'm pretty sure. Nikki, how you doing? Before we start talking about Slipknot, how's your trip going? You're visiting the big city. This is a big city, not like where you're from. Little pissant Chicago.
<The hell? laughs>
Teeny tiny Chicago. They call it the smallest city in the world.
They do call it that.
It's like that Little House show, but for a whole town. Our mayor is very small.
Yes.
You guys just sit around the old bean all day, taking it in.
It's a bean-sized bean, which is so insane.
You got to be tempted to heat that bean up and eat it up, huh?
Yeah, I'm always tempted to heat that bean. Can we also put heat that bean somewhere in the episode? Maybe we sample that?
Yeah. Heat that bean.
That's tight.
Heat that bean.
Oh, man.
My trip's going great. I think I had my eighth slice of pizza today.
Nice.
Yeah, everything's been great, but that's been really great.
You
won.
Pizza.
I'm convinced. I like it better here.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
What was the highlight?
Ooh, I really like Joe's pizza.
Joe's the best.
Little Sicilian.
Which one did you go to?
I went to the two of them on the second one on accident.
Wow.
I've only been to the one on third. The one by the IFC
was the one I remember most. So.
Ooh, oh, nice. Yeah,
I haven't
yeah.
been to that one. How was the IFC theater? Did you go?
Yeah, it's awesome. I saw the Death of Stalin movie.
I saw the Death of Stalin there too. I wonder if we were in the same showing.
You weren't.
Okay. We were out of town that day.
I had a plastic bag over my head. I like to choke myself in movies.
Yeah, we were the same showing. It was actually the one after I saw them trying to resuscitate you.
Yeah. Tommy was the guy pissing his pants slowly on just for the
sensation. It's a funny movie.
Funny. We are here, of course, to talk about Slipknot. This is a band. When did you get into Slipknot, Nikki?
I got into them when I was 13. A guy named Cody showed them to me.
Oh, isn't it always a guy named Cody?
The official band of Cody's everywhere. Yeah.
He played the Duality music video for me in history class.
I think the only person I knew who talked to me about Slipknot actually was named Cody. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Cody White. Yeah.
A band for Cody's everywhere.
There is no Cody unturned. No Cody unturned. By the music of Slipknot.
I'd love to go to a concert and be like, Cody! And everybody just, what the fuck?
So you were 13, you were feeling angsty, you were mad, you're sitting in your room boiling with white anger.
Yeah, what were you mad about, Nikki?
I don't know. I got yelled at a lot, like at home and at school. So yeah. I guess that might be part of my proclivity for enjoying yelly music. I still listen to music with yelling, but... Not too much Slipknot anymore, except the jams. Sometimes I put the hits on. I'll be honest; it's embarrassing to admit.
What do you listen to now?
I'm really eclectic. I like it all, but you know what, folks? I like rap and country more than almost anything else. How's that sound? I listen to a lot of rap music. I listen to electronic music.
Okay.
I really like it all. Like I go to festivals and I find new bands.
You're kidding.
And then I listen to them the rest of the year.
Wow. It's hard for me to... I've never been to a music festival.
Is
so
that
I don't
true?
Know why I'm saying that. Yeah.
Really?
I want to go. Let's go.
You guys should go and bring a field recorder.
That's a good point. We should.
I'm headlining Coachella this year, if you want to come.
Oh, yeah.
I'm headlining the Fire Festival this year. I heard it's going to be really good. I'm really excited.
Get the food.
Were you into Slipknot, Tommy?
I liked Duality.
Should we listen to Duality?
Yeah,
now?
Let's listen to that now since we're talking about it.
All right. If I get it out of the way, I'm that's how I'm going to be referring to all of this music.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, I did not enjoy Slipknot as a boy. I was very... people who listen to this regularly could have figured this out before I even said this. This music scared me and their masks. Their masks, I didn't get it. I was a pussy and I didn't... I was into when I was 13, I was into rap a lot, but I was mostly into pop. Like when I was 16, I got into Maroon 5 and Coldplay and stuff, but I liked the hit. I liked radio hits that made you feel good, you know?
Mm.
I liked Usher a lot, but there's a song. These song titles are so fucking stupid.
So stupid.
There's a song on here on the list that you made called People Equals Shit.
Yeah, dude.
Is that true?
I felt that it was at the time. And now I think you could make a compelling argument of it and just that all people shit and it's one of the few things that they all do.
That is true.
I'm certainly compelled.
That was the original name for Everybody Poops. People Equals Shit. So this is Duality. Everybody equals shit. Is there a certain part I need to skip to in this? I think we get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think we get what they're doing. I will say right off the bat, so I listened to this just now, one of the five ways to listen to music, which was on the train. and I found myself foot tapping. I think that without seeing them, I liked it a little bit more than if I had to look at their fucking dumb shit.
Well, that's weirdly the most accessible Slipknot song too. As crazy as, you know what, like as crazy as that is, that's like as that's pop for them. You know what I mean?
Tommy really likes People Equals Piss.
That's a B-side.
He's a piss freak.
Well, it's a P-side.
You're a piss mistress.
Yeah,
correct?
I'm a piss mistress.
That's why Tommy begged to have you on the show.
Yeah.
I said, I don't know. He said, we got to have the piss mistress.
We're in piss forums together and, you know, sure, piss picks. But this song is a beautiful song.
And
beautiful.
Interesting.
If I remember correct, the music video is them in a house. Destroying it for no reason. It's like an abandoned house.
And then
house.
Ty Pennington comes in. Oh, no.
They should have these guys come in when the Queer Eye guys go in to remodel a house.
Like, yeah, that would rock.
They just like destroy. These guys destroy it first. This is exactly like when people... I feel like only white people can like destroy a house and have that be a, like a pleasant... Like everybody else needs a house, you know.
I do like the idea of the Queer Eye guys being like, "Okay, so his name is Clown."
All right, should we before we go too far in here because I've already kind of hinted at some of the things I think Jared's going to cover. We should listen to Jared Thompson's voicemail. Jared Thompson is the owner of the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana, where I will be the first weekend of May, I believe. So get tickets at comedyattic.com. Also come to Limestone Fest, which he is the co-founder of. I am going to play his voicemail right now. So he likes to send in his thoughts on a band. This is called They Went to Jared.
What's up, y'all? It's this week They Went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending Slipknot. I know you guys were a little shocked that I was positive, or at least not negative, last week about Garth Brooks, but we're right back to regularly scheduled programming with Slipknot. The first thing that comes to mind for me is we've had about 20 years to digest that first Slipknot album. And I just have to say that for me, it's positive, but I feel like that it's definitely true that white aggression is sort of much more checked now. While I believe that Slipknot, I mean, I'll just take people's word for it that for the type of music it is, it's good. I mean, it's not the type of music that I want to listen to. But I trust that people who listen to that kind of music think it's a good album. So I have to, it's just not up to me as not a fan of that type of music to really know if it's good or bad. But I will say that I feel like that unchecked white aggression, is not as, freely, represented as it was. And that's a win in my opinion. And so while Slipknot as a new band could potentially exist now, I feel like that they wouldn't be as mainstream as they are. And, you know, this isn't just about race, you know, gender. Like, point is, this band was specifically for straight white men who were, in my opinion, or in a lot of people's opinion, sort of like wrongly pissed off. Like, what are you so upset about? Like, yeah, there's poor people in white, you know, there's poor white people. Of course there are. But, you know, still, as a whole, we are so much more privileged than any other group of people as straight white men. And, you know, I was into punk and hardcore from, like, 1992 until now. So, believe me, being around it, it was completely unchecked. And when you get a band like Slipknot that comes around, this is like the soundtrack for, like, a school shooter. That doesn't mean that everyone that listens to Slipknot is going to shoot up a school, but certainly the average, like, white, you know, outcast kid who shot up a school probably liked bands like Slipknot, or, you know, it's just all it is just aggression. And it's really interesting to me to see where maybe in the next 20 years, like, where we view stuff like this. Like, did it have a purpose? Should it have existed in the first place? I'm going to be interested to hear the guests' thoughts on this, because for me, this is a major reason of why I hated this type of music. Just the amount of rage that it caused in people. And anyway, all right, I love you guys. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Jared. Those are his thoughts on Slipknot and white rage. And Nikki, you're the king of white rage.
Yeah, dude. I I fancy myself a little angry sometimes, but I certainly when I listen to the music, it that struck a chord with me. I see what he means,
yeah,
more or less. I don't know if I would go so far as say it's every school shooter soundtrack. I mean,
all right,
I think there's actually top of the school shooter sounding music genre.
There's a few examples in the news of this.
So let's go to the news.
Really?
Well, the Fort Hood shooter, his like Facebook name was Ivan Slipknot. So
right.
It's not a school shooter.
It seems related.
And then there was a South African one.
There was a
which was a sword attack. Yeah.
Yeah. So not a school shooter. A knifer.
And then there was...
I think we can draw a distinction that it's significantly different to be a mass knifer than a shooter.
There's also... This is a weird one. It says, in 2006, the lyrics of the song Surfacing were found at the site of a grave robbery.
Yep.
Which, I don't know if grave robbery is that bad.
Well, you know what's crazy?
No, grave robbery's tight.
Is that that happened, and then when one of the members of Slipknot died, someone robbed his grave.
Whoa.
So there's two different grave robbing stories, which hasn't happened for our podcast since Maroon 5.
Yeah, Adam Levine used to be a big grave robber.
That's
what the song Sunday Morning is about, if you listen closely. Sunday morning, grave robbing. Treasure from your dead body.
Keep going. I was really surprised.
Steal some dead guy's clothes. All right. Yeah, that was enough of that. I'm sorry, Tommy. Go ahead.
I was surprised because you do think, like, when you're talking about when he's talking about White Rage, you do kind of assume that it's like a kind of a Trumpy band, but. Corey Taylor is actually very liberal and progressive, which is interesting.
Yeah.
And he says he's like lost a lot of fans because of it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the people who listen to Slipknot are kind of like that.
Yeah. Jared wanted to make a point. We talked about this voicemail, actually. And he was like, I want to make sure people know I'm not calling the band racist. Like, I'm saying that it's.
Because
that's true. It's funny. I looked up Slipknot black fans, and it doesn't exist. It came back. Negative. Google said zero results, but there's a quote from him that scared me. It's from Corey Taylor, and it says to me, this is him talking about Black Lives Matter, and it started to me. It's very simple. We all matter, and I was like, oh shit. But then he goes, but Black Lives Matter is more important right now because they're being like attacked and stuff. So I think that. He seems to be a pretty woke dude.
It is funny whenever you hear him saying something progressive or read it to picture him saying it with the mask still on.
He sometimes takes it off, but not always. Like, they sometimes wear it.
Larry King made him take it off.
As for the Slipknot and race question, especially on their first album, but I think it started to subside, there's a lot of just overt hip-hop influence. Like, they just use hip hop samples. They're doing record
scratches.
They're
in the nu metal family a little bit.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think DJ Spooky something or DJ Spooky Kid was their DJ. And he's like, dude, I love your band. Because it seems like, so they're coming from this like thrash metal Midwest sort of genre. And then they synthesize it into all this junk that sounded contemporary to kids at the time. And happened to strike the chord of like, yo, you're in the suburbs. You got nothing to live for.
Yeah,
but I don't know if it's. I think we really should be drawing distinctions between knife guys and grave robbers when we say Slipknot's king of the school shooter.
Wait, I do want before we get off the topic of knife murders. So the article I read about that was from The Guardian, and this was their like header for it. So Slipknot blamed for inspiring school murder. Their drummer's broken ankle is the least of the band's worries. Just like such like a flippant way to talk about a kid died.
Yeah.
It'd be like if Marilyn Manson was blamed for Columbine and they're like, yeah, sucking his own dick is the least of his problems.
Let me see.
Some other stuff. Slipknot stuff. They have numbers. What do you think of that?
That's tight.
All the band.
It's super fashy. Like, they just have this weird, like, organization that runs Slipknot that gives them numbers and makes them wear masks. It makes them go do this, like, emotionally painful thing in front of all of you kids. Yeah. I don't know. It's so weird. The whole lore is so strange.
So I was reading about the origin of the numbers, and my favorite part is when they're talking about how they each picked their numbers. So Mick was like, I have to be 7. Fuck everyone. It's my lucky number. Corey was like, I want 8. Infinity. And when Sid joined the band, he said, I am not a number. I am 0. I am filth. And that's why he's 0.
That's tight.
That's how I feel about you. From now on, Tommy is 0 on this show. What the hell? And I am infinity. Oh. And beyond.
Before we move past violence, the guitarist Mick Thompson got stabbed in the head by his brother during a knife fight. So what do you think about that?
Is that he's dead now, isn't he? Is that how he died?
Is that the one that died? One of them died. I don't.
Yeah, I do think getting stabbed in the head would make you way more metal. Like, that's it would be true. So much easier to play music like this and listen to music like this if you had gotten stabbed in the head.
That's very true. And listen to music like this. Yeah, you look out, everyone's head is bandaged.
Oh, man. We have a lot of Facebook comments on this one. Did you get an eye on the old Facebook thread?
I deleted Facebook, hashtag delete Facebook. Wow. I heard about the one story on the newspaper, and I'm no longer going to talk to my family or friends.
Wait, you say you heard about that one story in the newspaper?
Cambridge Analytica story was what I was alluding to, but I was being ironic online. I'm sorry.
These people are puppet masters. We're all puppets.
That is true. You're a puppet, bitch. What the hell? Let's go to Facebook for a minute here. Joe Kilgallen says, he's our buddy, also from Chicago. He said that one album was really good. I think it's the self-titled.
Say it in his voice.
Great commentary.
Say it in all of their voices, please.
You're the first guest to make demands.
Yeah. Yeah. You're the piss mistress, not me. You do stuff. I don't like this comment. I'll tell you right off the bat. It's from Carrie C. in Indianapolis. She says, oh gosh, I really loved them in high school. I think most everyone did.
Really? That's an interesting generalization.
Yeah, what are
not
you
that South
about?
African kid. Or the victim. The other one.
Yeah, the other one liked them.
Yeah, that's true.
I push my fingers into my eyes. She likes that one.
Yes. Can we talk about that line really quick?
Let's
I
do
push
it.
Push my fingers into my eyes. That would not stop any ache whatsoever. It would cause an immense amount of pain. To push your fingers in your fucking eyes? But, what are they talking about?
All right, let's all try it. Everyone at home, too. Yeah. 3, 2, 1.
Feels good.
No.
No.
Oh, you guys closed your eyes first.
Yeah. Nikki, sometimes people need to feel pain so that they can feel anything.
Whoa.
Deep. Deep as hell.
That's why people listen to this podcast. They could be like, why the fuck do I do this? It hurts my ears and eyes. Let's see. Kevin Cornell, Corey Taylor. Oh, this is interesting. Kevin Cornell says, Corey Taylor doesn't get shit on nearly enough. Slipknot is a lame-ass gimmicky band who might as well just tour trailer parks and schools for autistic kids. You know what band no one can defend, though? Stone Sour. Corey Taylor should get mocked relentlessly for making that band.
Okay.
Did you ever listen to Stone Sour?
Yes. Probably longer than I listened to Slipknot.
Oh, interesting.
Because I think Corey Taylor is an excellent vocalist.
Yeah,
he can do a lot of different things. He's got wonderful range, and he can really carry a melody.
I read that there was like one of the trivia facts about them said that he had more range than any singer in America.
That sounds like a Trump statement.
Yeah.
I have more range.
He could do, so if you like this stuff, there's a bunch of different types of ways to yell for metal. He can do those.
Right.
He could also carry those big poppy melodies, and he can do Stone Sour is like depressing acoustic guy music. And it's like it's much more of a bummer band, in my opinion. Much less aggression, much more like a down tempo bummer.
Okay. Yeah.
And
it is amazing how quickly he can switch between the two modes of singing.
Yeah.
Which there are only two modes of singing, which
are
true.
So, wait, what
screaming
was it,
and saying?
I think he's a fucking idiot.
Okay, Kevin. You heard it here first. I guess you're a fucking idiot.
I was kidding. I haven't met you.
Brandon Ream says, Tangerine Ream, as I call him. That's an inside joke for Reddit. It says, I was 13 into metal and living in Des Moines when they released their self-produced Mate, Feed, Kill, Repeat. It's been really cool watching a band I used to pay $5 to see become one of the biggest metal bands of all time. So I know we've got a lot of friends from Des Moines who are comics in New York. And for some reason, that made me like reading about them starting in Des Moines made me like them a little bit more.
Interesting.
Because I do like Des Moines. I like that scene. It seems like a cool like little spot. I feel like and when I just realized when I said I like Des Moines, I meant Boise. But I've
been to Des Moines once.
Yeah,
Des Moines is fine.
It seems like a fine
like
place.
When Slipknot started as a band, Des Moines had a particularly rich metal scene.
It did, yeah. So and a lot of these guys were in other bands that kind of collabed together. I really liked this story about them, that they came up with a lot of this shit, a lot of the ideas for this band when they were, one of them was working late night shifts at a gas station. And they would just like go hang out at that gas station and come up with the shit, because this music sounds like that.
Mm-hmm. It is the gas station like of music. Yeah. Like.
Yeah, this is for sure like you're at a fucking Sunoco when you come up with a lot of this shit.
And there's a deal like 2-for-1 Rockstar energy drinks.
Oh man. I really like this story. So they had a guitarist named Donnie Steele who left the band before they really got started because of his Christian beliefs.
Oh, wow.
This is why I didn't like them, because they were too dark. And I wasn't even like a super Christian kid or anything like that. But I didn't like the idea of music that I was like, I'm going to go to hell. Wow. If I listen to this, the
you
devil
this
will like
you
it.
You to hell?
The thing is, the devil has certain tastes in music that he's into. Like, can't you imagine the devil listening to this?
Yeah, I could.
Okay, so wait, while we're on this topic, before you go into another Maroon 5 parody.
Sunday morning, devil screaming. Do-do-do-do-do. The thing is, Saturdays are for the devil, Sundays are for Christ.
Oh, wow. Before Slipknot, this is a fact. That's why I use my fact voice. Before Slipknot wore identical coveralls, Corey Taylor wore a priest costume. This earned him the nickname Faith, which he still hates to this day.
Wow. And then he
damn.
That's also how Faith Hill got her start. She was the lead singer of this band before marrying Garth Brooks.
Definitely, as I was 13 and stopped liking church, I was like, church is stupid. They're wrong. They say gay people are bad, which I know is fucked up. And I like devil music.
But wasn't...
I like music that says God is gay and stuff. Like, and it's like, oh, I had some pretty conflicting beliefs there.
You think gay people are bad? I think God is gay.
That doesn't really... there was another thing I had. Oh, I liked this fact about Slipknot. They put up $40,000 of their own money to make their first... they had to get a studio. They didn't have a recording budget from like a label or anything, so they had to make the money themselves. And I thought that was pretty sick.
Yeah, imagine being in the initial pitch meeting for Slipknot to try to raise money from a label. Okay, guys, well, they're all demon clowns. Some of them have metal on their faces. They're very angry. Don't talk to them or look them in the eyes.
They might throw around wheelchairs and stuff while you're trying to talk to them.
I had heard that Clown, the clown we've been talking about.
Yes.
His name is Clown. I had heard all growing up that he was like, they're like, dude, that's so metal. They got a mentally challenged clown in the band and they just let him hit stuff, which is couldn't be further from the truth. He was the longest running member of the band. He's the one who organized it and all that stuff. But as a teen, the rumor was he was like, dude, the guy got hit by a baseball bat. That's why he makes music with baseball bats.
It must have been annoying.
That is so dumb.
It must have been annoying for all the other like pop culture clowns when they were like, what should I be called? Is Clown taken? Yes. Slipknot's gone.
I guess I'll be another bozo.
We should talk about, they have some fun connections to other bands that we will talk about in the future.
Yeah. I mean, we have to talk about Nickelback.
Nickelback we haven't done yet, but there is a Slipknot Nickelback beef.
Yeah. And it's like Chad Kroeger spoke out anti-Slipknot and talked shit about how Corey Taylor says that it's easy to make a hit song. Well, then why don't you do it, bitch? That's what he has to say.
And he also, Chad Kroeger said that Stone Sour was Nickelback light.
It's so funny. He keeps saying that Slipknot's trying to be Nickelback. And it's like, I don't hear that at all.
I love that one of Taylor's response comebacks was that Kroeger has a face like a foot.
That's true.
That's true too.
I just love going from music to foot face.
Yeah. Avril's got a foot fetish.
Oh, that's complicated.
I could see Stone Sour being in the same genre as Nickelback, though. It's just it'd be funny if Chad Kroeger's saying that about like every band. Like, Taylor Swift is just Nickelback like.
Oh, Kendrick Lamar. Yeah.
Tupac Shakur, Nickelback like.
This is how you remind me of us. Wait, so wait, this is a quote from that again. This is a Corey Taylor quote about Chad Kroeger. I'm not talking about that dickhead. Why do I give a shit about what Chad Kroeger says? I'll tell you what, this is how I figured it out. Chad Kroeger is what KFC is to chicken. Is that wrong? I feel like I'm not wrong. I'll still eat it, but I'm not going to feel good about it.
Wait, that's a lot of...
I'll still
what you're,
eat
that
it?
Means you're like, that makes it sound like he's still like going to listen to Nickelback.
He's still
going to
listen to Nickelback.
Yeah.
Or he'll eat. Yeah. Or I'll eat him.
Yeah, I enjoy this.
And yeah, I copy it. But
I like this feud. Speaking of KFC, Slipknot has a feud with Burger King, who they accuse of basing their mock band, what was it called, Cock Rock, I believe.
What?
Yeah, yeah. So,
oh, like chicken.
Yeah. So
I remember this. I think
I'm looking for. It's Cock Rock, COQROQ, which is a band that was made to promote chicken fries. They are alleging that Slipknot, or that they. Yeah, that they based their image off of Slipknot, and because they were chickens that wore masks on stage.
Oh, so it sounds like they did.
Well, the Burger King's argument back was a lot of bands wear masks, dog. You don't get to like be the only mask band.
What's another one?
Another band that
Kiss
had a problem.
Kiss does makeup, but that's not
right.
Oh, there's Mudvayne.
But isn't makeup just a mask?
And Mudvayne's the one where the kid gets a handjob on the beach.
Did you say Mudvayne?
Yeah, what do you get? You never got a Mudvayne? Dude, we're cool. In high school,
he said
we used to get Mudvayne's.
They're both two syllables.
That is a stretchy one there. That's stretchier than the elastic on my worn-out ass underwear.
What?
What the fuck?
You trying to make a catchphrase at that? That's good.
Yeah.
That was the worst.
I'm
riff
a
worn out
ass underwear.
I mean, they both start with an M and have two syllables.
Oh man. Let's see here.
Green. They got a feud with Green Day too.
Green Day.
Green Day went after them.
Green Day. Didn't they get a hand job on the beach? Why don't we just say that about everything? No, I'm
I thought you meant as a mud vein, like when a girl jacks you off and gets mud in the vein of your dong. And I was like, oh, that's awesome, getting mud vein, bro.
That's what it was.
That's how you get mud vein. Tom's just admitting that he did not get mud vein in
high
school.
That's true.
I never got mud vein. I'm a virgin.
Okay, so Green Day like went at Slipknot for no reason, it seems like. So Green Day was doing this show, and someone threw a clown mask onto the stage, and Billy Joe said, "We're not." Said, "Oh no!" He put it on, and then mockingly said, "We're Slipknot. Fuck you!" And then he threw it back and said, "Oh, scary! You've got masks, assholes. Why don't you try writing a good fucking song for a change?"
Dang,
and then he
Billy.
Kept going. Towards the end of the show, he introduced a song saying, "Dedicate this song to the person you hate most in the world. Think about killing the bastard. Take Slipknot, for instance."
Damn.
What
two
the
for
fuck?
One.
Isn't that crazy? In the same
that
show.
Got too far. And then after backstage, he was like, I'm going to mail them Anthrax. Yeah. I'm going to buy it on the darknet and mail it to Corey Taylor.
And as we all know, Anthrax is the one where the kid gets the hand job on the beach.
Man, this guy sounds like a basket case.
Oh, my God. Oh, I found a good quiz.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, so this is Slipknot. It's a Slipknot lyric, real or fake. Okay?
Oh, my God. This is great.
All right.
I want to play along.
So I'm going
to
try and do it in a Slipknot voice just to make it.
Let's battle each other, Nikki.
Okay.
All right. I'm ethereal. My children are legion. Cereal.
I'm going to say fake.
I think fake, too.
That is real.
Wow. Don't copy me, Nikki.
Okay.
You can copy?
You're a copier.
The air around me still feels like a cage. And love is just a camouflage for what resembles rage.
That's definitely fake.
Yeah, I want to say fake.
That's real.
What?
Yeah.
Are you just fucking with us and reading all quotes?
No. These are real quotes. Yeah.
Okay.
The soul is not so vibrant. The reckoning, the sickening, packaging subversion, pseudo sacrosanct perversion.
That's real for sure.
I'm going to say fake.
That's real.
I can remember that.
No,
that was on one of the first two records.
I see.
Exploding in the atmosphere just like a dying star. My only quest before I die is to skull fuck Tom Takkar.
You son of a bitch.
I think that's real.
I think that was real.
That one's real. all right, there's two more. I felt the hate rise up in me, kneel down and clean the stones. The only thing I want is to have sex with Takar's bones.
What the fuck? I'm going to say that's fake.
That one's fake.
I felt the hate rise up in
And this
me.
Last one. Taryn Killam had a small part in 12 Years a Slave. I hope you brought the KY down to Tom Takar's shallow grave.
Why did you do this? Is this because of because I made fun of your Moonlight rip?
Those first ones were real, though.
Yeah, but it wasn't a quiz, right?
Oh, hell no.
Yeah. I shouldn't have, my bad, I'm calling it. All right, doesn't matter. Anyway, yeah, that was the quiz that, I don't know who to trust anymore.
You're turning into La Valley.
No, what the hell? Hey, you can't say that on the show.
I'm allowed to make jokes.
No, I liked it. That was a good time. Speaking of La Valley, why don't you check out that episode of the show, Weezer. Weezer episode if you don't like humor. Got him. Just kidding, Nick. You don't listen to the show. Who gives a shit? Let's go back to Facebook for a moment. Because we had so many comments, I feel bad only reading the ones that I read. Because Brad Wenzel, I think, seems to have some real thoughts here. Do you know Brad?
Yeah.
He hasn't been on the show. Okay. He says, my only take is that if you watch the video for House of the Rising Sun, it's clear that the animals are 50 times scarier than Slipknot and could definitely kick the shit out of them. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go, Slipknot heads. Aaron Grothier says, I bought a Slipknot CD in middle school, so boys would think I was alternative. I carried it around in my backpack and had it accidentally fall out of my backpack in front of groups of boys. I never listened to it. It scared me too much. Each night when I got home, I took it out of my backpack and hid it under a blanket on my closet floor. That's really funny.
Wow, shout that's out to hysterical. Aaron. That rules. That I would have so totally funny. Been impressed by that.
Tommy does that.
What? Just fell out of that? What?
Tommy does that at middle schools with Magnum condoms.
Oh, my God.
Does it work?
Yeah. He has them fall out of his bag. yeah, that's really funny. Did you guys ever pretend to be into anything to make people like you?
Death Cab for Cutie.
Ooh. You didn't like Death Cab?
I saw him three times.
You need to keep that pretending up, because I would have liked you more.
I mean, they rule. the sound of settling, I hear that sound all the time.
It's one of my favorite sounds.
I love when stuff settles.
I like faked... I didn't fake this, but I got into Coldplay because of a girl that I had a crush on, and then I'm trying to think of the
you just stayed
I just,
into Coldplay. I just like, got I'm just gonna then keep
I,
being here.
Then I started preferring Coldplay to her. I like I mean eventually I mean they meant more to me than she did, so
damn.
It got her ass.
My dad's name is Chris Martin, shout out to him.
Nice. Is it really?
Wow. Hell yeah. Yeah. I also pretended to be into women till recently.
To impress women?
Yeah, to impress women.
It does kind of impress them, though. They're like, hey,
he's really into us. Tommy, you ever fake anything?
I mean, I pretend to be into punk for, like, years.
Yeah.
You know, I never was really into it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Let's see.
Wait, I want to play, if I can have the thing back. Nick said there was one song that... You thought, explain to us, we're going to play
The thing about
Psychosocial
Slipknot
Baby
that we haven't really touched on, because some of their songs kind of rip. You know what I mean? Like, they got a good beat.
Sure.
You could kind of, like, mosh around. The Push My Fingers Into My Eyes is really a good one. There's another one on that record that you'll always hear in movies when shit starts, or, like, the troops come, or, you know, like, a plane
it's
is
like, let the bodies
shoot.
Hit the floor.
It's not that song, though, but
it
is.
That'd be a good song.
Yeah, I think you're right. That it would be a good song for
Speak
letting bodies.
Are you saying that you just came up with that?
Yeah.
somebody write that down. That sounds like Before I Forget is the song. Oh, wow, I forgot it. Oh, folks. But
we've had a great show. Thank you for listening.
You know there's no audience, right?
Well, there's an audience. There's
I mean, but there's not like...
He admits it. He's been lying to you about the numbers.
It's yeah, Tom, it's been a lot of people.
So contentious today.
But this Psychosocial came out in 2008, as did, I think, Justin Bieber's Baby. And when you mash them up, they fit really well. Cool guy we've talked about, Corey Taylor, even thought it was cool. I think that it shows that Slipknot could write a pop song, and they have written pop songs. And if you replace the bad-sounding drop-tuned instruments with pretty-sounding instruments, mm-hmm. it kind of rips. You know, they got some melodies, and it kind of freaking rips.
So let's hear it. This is Psychosocial Baby.
Ooh, already like the start.
This is just Baby.
I love this song. Why don't they just make more shit like this?
I did my time, and I went out. So if you say I'm fine, it doesn't cut. The soul is not so vibrant. The reckoning, the sickening. Back at chicks, a virgin. Pseudo-sacrosanct perversion. Go drill your deserts. Go dig your graves. Then fill your mouth with all the money you will save. Sinking in, getting smaller again. I'm done. It has begun. I'm not the only one.
I'm the man who killed us all.
I really liked the beginning of that song before he started singing, but no, that was
pretty
fun.
Yeah, you like the other song. I see what you mean, but
no, that was enjoyable.
Yeah, especially when you get to the chorus, then it's like, oh, that's kind of a cool little melody, sort of. I mean, like, if there wasn't other good music out there, I wouldn't hate having to listen to that music a lot.
I forgot, I'm reading some of the comments, I forgot that Slipknot fans are called maggots. Are you a maggot?
Yeah.
I was not a maggot because I was not allowed to go to a concert, and it seemed like that was kind of the barrier to entry.
That's the on the 15 interesting facts you didn't know about Slipknot. That's number 15.
Yeah, it's not that interesting.
It says drummer Joey Jordison was the first to coin that term. He started using it when he observed fans feeding off the music.
Allison comments on the YouTube video, I'm a believer and also a maggot. I gotta say, I find this hilarious. Who is a believer and also a maggot?
That is a weird crossover.
And then the next comment down is, Pikachu is a virgin. So
that belongs on there.
Yep.
I like that, actually. I'm glad to hear that.
There's a lot of facts that I found on this. This is on ppcorn.com, which is Tommy's favorite vegetable.
Oh, my God.
Pecorn.
Sean, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing this wrong. I think it's Cron or Crahan. Sean Crahan liked smelling crows. He would keep a dead crow in a jar behind his drum kit while he played. He apparently did this to keep the hardcore vibe going throughout the show.
Ugh.
Pretty hardcore indeed. I think this is gross. They went on a tour and didn't wash their masks at all. It's because they wanted like the spit and vomit and shit to like stay on them.
Somebody wash me.
Oh, that was good.
That riff made sense.
I like that one. That was really good. It's a mask. It's perfect.
Why would you want that? How would that make your performance better? Like, oh, well, now I can finally smell old spit and vomit to really get into the zone.
Oh, here we go. Tommy's going to love this fact. It says, though it has never been made clear which member this happened to, Corey Taylor said that a person in the band had a threesome involving two girls peeing on him. Not only that, but the rest of the band and crew were there to watch it. It'd be funny if we saw a picture of them all standing around. We just saw you in the background.
For the listener at home, Tommy's eyes lit up, and he was like, whoa.
Push my fingers into my...
What? ew. That same fella, Crayhan or whatever, signed...
It's the only time he's ever been called fella, by the way.
Oh, my fella Crayhan.
Somebody brought him an animal heart to sign. That's pretty gross. These people are freaks. No offense if you're into this music, but fuck you. You're disgusting. You really don't belong on this earth. But
how do you sign that? What do you use? You use a Sharpie?
I mean,
would a felt ink pen even make a dent in an animal organ?
That would be great if it was just like a Bic. Barely.
Sorry, I brought a puffy pen. It's glitter ink, but it's going to show up real nice with the contrast of the cow heart.
Also, you have to have that in your house. It's just gonna
What do you do with that afterwards?
This one's really fucked up. It says Mick Thompson has admitted that he is a cat lover at heart. Cringe much? Man, I'm gonna stop reading these facts because the rest of them are grossing me out. And looking at them is disgusting.
Should we get to the music?
Let's get to the music. We've We've long awaited it. We should start here.
So we already heard Duality.
Yes.
So the rest are going to be in order, right?
Is there anything specifically you want me to play from this list? Because you gave us too many songs, as you know. And we played 6 songs. We've already played. I'm going to say we've played 2 already. If you don't mind counting those,
I totally. I think so.
Okay, so
too.
These are.
Do we talk? Am I not supposed to talk during these songs?
You can.
No, you can do
what
you want.
You do what you want, cool, baby. Cool. This is your time to shine. I think we have to listen. I'm just going to pick. I think if you don't care,
People Equal Shit is great.
I think we have to listen to the song "People Equal Shit."
Let's do that right now.
Wait and Bleed and People Equal Shit, and then if we
just start playing People Equal Shit.
So this is People Equal Shit.
Kicking around the bus, nobody's talking to me, you know? Just like, fuck this.
I think that's the first time that's ever happened.
I just reached across the table to turn the music off.
It's not very good. I mean,
music
it's novel.
Shit.
It's novel.
Do you think anybody ever burned him by saying that?
Yeah, it's probably
your music equals shit.
Yeah. I like the whole math angle there, though. Like they use the equal sign.
Yeah, it's the equal sign.
Really? Okay. This
I didn't
next...
realize that. Yeah, that's really cool.
I'm going to see if there's any song packs.
It is funny to picture the people listening to the podcast like rushing to turn down the volume on their phones when we start playing the music.
I bet they did. Because that's why I'm like, maybe I don't really make you listen to this fully.
No, that's
part of the podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
We have to.
Okay.
And we already did. So
maybe we put a trigger warning at the top. Like, TW, people who don't want to hear something that really hurts your head in a way.
I think the quote about having sex with Bambi will be a trigger warning of its own.
Yeah. Let's see. The quote from Sean Crayon is, people are like an incurable disease that is destroying our world. So that's the meaning of this song.
That's deep.
If you have a fucking... This is a comment from from Heather... if you have a fucking problem with this song, then go the fuck away. It's simple. You are all jealous because he's famous and you aren't. Stop talking out of your ass and go home.
Damn.
That sounds like it's to you, Tommy. I don't mean to make it personal, but let's see.
But if people equal shit, shouldn't we talk out of our ass?
That's deep. Really quickly, I found a couple of comments that I feel like we should talk about on the Facebook. Tim McLaughlin says, former guest and
never
future
again.
Enemy. we'll probably delete that episode, to be honest, so listen to it while you can.
Before we send it to the Smithsonian, we're going to...
Like Soviet Russia, you just black them out of your life.
Yeah. Redacted.
Yeah.
That's going to be on our reverse Patreon, where we pay you to listen to it.
That's genius.
He said,
that's what Yakov Smirnov's stuff is on, right?
In Soviet Patreon, we pay you
listener
listen.
Support, or no, you support listener. Yeah.
Tim McLaughlin writes, Slipknot, more like you two are thoughts.
Yes.
THOTS. Worth reading. my buddy James Isaiah Munoz, otherwise known as Moonshoes.
Is that the one where the kid gets the hand job on the beach?
Yes, indeed. He says, my band was asked to open a week of dates for them on their Subliminal Versus Arena tour in 2005. That's pretty cool. Every opening band on this tour was given 15 minutes, so our set list was about 5 songs long, and we had to play immediately as doors opened in a gigantic arena with all the lights on. I can still picture the sea of Hot Topic teens running in XXXL shirts trying to get a good spot right in the front row. Occasionally, the Slipknot members would watch us play from the side of the stage, and one show, the former bass player, Paul, RIP, brought out a remote-controlled dump truck that had 5 shots of Jaeger for us. Unfortunately, my guitar player was oblivious to the gesture of kindness, and he kicked the truck and all the shots into the audience.
What?
We were only allowed to sell 1 t-shirt, and it had to be priced higher than any of Slipknot's merch, so this was probably a poor business move. But their live show was so insane. Huge pentagrams blasted out all through the arena via lasers. Floating drum sets, clowns banging kegs with the baseball bats. Would definitely do again. Pretty cool insider info from James Isaiah Munoz.
That is cool.
He's a comic, I believe, from Arizona. Check him out. He's a good man.
Nick, what do you think of ICP? I feel like there's a divide.
Yeah, that's what people, some people commented, like, this is ICP for pussies or whatever.
ICP for, well, I've listened to ICP extensively as well. And I think their music sounds very different. They go more into
the rap,
the
right?
rap yeah. and the Detroit sort of funk and R&B. They had a crazy. They both had crazy live shows, but ICP was saying things very clearly that were just like, "Oh my God, you did what?"
Yeah.
But these guys are yelling things that are just like kind of angsty and dark. I wonder if it seems like they're rivals only because they're both gimmicks. But I don't think that there was much crossover. I don't know. Maybe there was, so.
There are some great comments on this one. I can't stop. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
JP McDade wrote, sometimes at the gym I listen to Psychosocial on the loop. I know the results haven't shown up in my body, but I swear it's effective. Gangly man, JP McDade. He's a good man. I saw another one that I really liked. Damn it, I lost it. That's all right. Oh, Marsha, our friend of the podcast, Marsha Belsky. Yeah. That's how she likes to be.
Beard of the podcast.
Girlfriend of the podcast. she said, once knew a grown man into Slipknot, and not saying it's correlated, but he was racist.
Mm.
Good to know.
Tell that to Jared. Mm-hmm.
Go to Jared. All right, let's listen to another song. All right. What do you think? So you said, well,
before
wait
I forget,
and bleed.
Right? Oh,
before
wait,
I forget, I think I like this song. So let's hear.
Yeah, you won't mind this one. This one's good.
That's always good. I don't want to mind a song. That one,
that's fine.
Tommy didn't have to reach across the table.
Yeah,
to turn this one over.
Of course, this gets
it's
a little
goofy.
Melodic.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah. Yeah. According to the song facts about this song, in 2006, this won a Grammy Award for Best Metal Performance. This was Slipknot's first Grammy. They were nominated for the award 6 years in a row before finally winning.
Remember what happened during the ceremony?
I don't.
Kanye came on stage and said, "I'm gonna let you finish, but People Equals Shit is the greatest song of all time."
The beeping, there's a beeping, I guess, at the end of the song, and it's Morse code, which spells out the word Slipknot.
Deep.
Which is the name of the band.
Yeah. I didn't even realize that.
You're like trapped on an island, you hear Morse code, you're like, oh my, oh fuck.
Oh, it's Slipknot.
Slipknot rarely appear without their masks, but they do in this video, although only tight shots of their faces are seen. Corey Taylor's lyrics are open to interpretation, which is how he likes it.
Yeah,
this song deals
let me tell you my favorite one. What it was like, tilt it up in all your sordid little insurrections.
Damn.
I'm just caught up in all these cattle. It's like, fuck, that is... what could that possibly mean?
Tommy has an insurrection.
Oh, my God.
What is sordid insurrections? That is gibberish. That is a true nonsense combination of words.
Yeah.
Let me see here. Well, according to this, it says the song deals with evolution and the nature of man, so... So that should explain
the movie Evolution, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Was David Duchovny in that?
I believe so. Isn't it him and Orlando Jones? Isn't
yeah,
that?
Yeah. It wasn't.
Yeah.
It was like, what if Ghostbusters was in the desert and not funny?
But they had head and shoulders.
That was the first
David
DVD.
Duchovny.
That's the first DVD I ever owned.
Was it?
What? Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that ruled.
I loved it. I thought it was hilarious.
David Duchovny's character was named Ira Kane. Perhaps an Easter egg for Citizen Kane fans?
Or NPR fans.
Yeah.
All right, so that's we've listened to four songs now. So let's do you want to hear Wait and Bleed or Spit It Out? Or whatever you want from this list.
Wait and Bleed. Wait and Bleed. Wait and Bleed.
Please stop saying those words.
Down and clear the stone of leaves. I wander out where you can't see. Inside my shell, I wait and bleed. I felt the air rise up in me.
Tom was adjusting his earphones at the beginning to just be like, I don't want this in my head.
No,
this hurts.
I was trying to figure out what he was saying. Did you know that if you play this backwards, you hear Mike Lawrence's stand-up? Pretty weird. anyway, so I looked
up
some
songs. David Duchovny turned down a role in Star Wars Attack of the Clones to appear in Evolution? Wrong choice.
I wonder what the role was, though.
Actually, I have Jar Jar. No idea. I guess.
What? He fucked up then.
Jar Jar, if he was like really hot, would have been pretty sweet.
Misa thinks there's more out there. let's see. In the lyrics, when Corey says, I am a victim, a Manchurian candidate, he is referring to a movie from 1962 about mind control.
Let me guess which movie it was.
Did they think that no one knew that?
Yeah.
This might have been before the remake.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I wonder which film that's about.
It didn't say, huh?
Now, when I said Star Wars Attack of the Clones earlier, I was referring to a movie called Star Wars Attack of the Clones.
Manchurian Candidate. Let's see here. This is about a man who keeps having repetitive black and white dreams about laying in a bathtub full of his own blood with his wrist slit. One day he wakes up and sees that his dream has become a reality, but he doesn't want to believe it, and he tries to fall back asleep again. Shut up. God. I just can't fuck with that.
I can't even. Slipknot, no queen.
Don't even make me dream about my wrist bleeding out until I've had my coffee.
Thank you.
Do any good songs have a narrative you could sum up in such a way like that? This is so lame.
No. Skater Boy is actually about that, too.
Yeah.
Let's see. Chris Fain told us about this track. It was just
a
basic song.
He was a boy. It was a tub. Can I make it any more
obvious?
I slip my wrists. Then tried to sleep. I am such a creep.
I'm a creep. All right. So Chris Fain says, it was just a basic song. We didn't know it was going to be that popular. The funny thing is the record label. especially new guys at the record label, were coming around when we started getting big, and they're like, oh, the next record, you can write like three Wait and Bleeds. And we're just like, you're an idiot. Therefore, we don't do that. But obviously the band, believe it or not, we have so much control over what we do. We don't write anything for money. We don't write anything for popularity. We have to like it first. And it's just a song we liked, and it just so happened that it got on the radio and got the attention that we didn't expect. Check out an interview with Chris Vane. That's what it says.
You can hear those like very 1996-y.
Yeah, that sounds like you. That sounded like Incubus. What you just did?
Exactly. Yeah.
That was the time. Yeah.
All right, you got one more song. What do you want?
Okay. I guess I really don't want to listen to it.
That's a bad song.
I guess let's put on. We're not gonna listen to the whole thing, but let's put on Iowa.
I was gonna say
it's
Iowa.
It's like 15 minutes.
This is the worst one.
We're gonna skip around.
We have to skip around.
Yeah.
But I think one thing that's interesting is that it's like. Like, there's a lot of different types of sounds in it, so it seems like they have a really complicated relationship.
I will
be. State,
it
Iowa.
Seems like.
I'm going to be honest with you, Nikki. This is the first time since I've known you ever that I was angry at you. Any song that this long. It was playing while I was on the train. The train got backed up or whatever, and this. I realized I had been hearing this song the entire time I was stuck, and I was so mad.
No, it's okay. It's not. Imagine rehearsing this song. Like, you fucking won it over and over.
None of this could be cut.
So essential.
That's plenty. All right. This is what Songfacts has to say. This 15-minute mammoth is a reworking of the original Killers Are Quiet that can be found on the band's debut, Mate, Feed, Kill, Repeat. The song is about someone who kills women and recreates them in his own image, like a living doll type thing.
Whoa.
What's ironic, the one little Easter egg about this song, it's called Iowa, and it takes as long to listen to it as it does to drive through the entire state of Iowa.
Yep. Tiniest state in the union.
Do you think anyone in the band was like, what about 12 minutes?
These knuckleheads.
Oh, you're so affectionate.
That's how I wrap
these little fellows.
The song's title is not in the lyrics, and the lyrics aren't printed on the album sleeve. They are printed on the CD itself.
They're printed on your wrist.
Yeah, they're printed on an animal heart. All right, that has been the playlist for Nikki Martin's Slipknot. Slipknot as presented by Nikki Martin.
Oh! So that's your final thought?
That's right, final.
I'm going to give this playlist a 1.5 because I have to give them that I tapped my foot a little on the train. I don't mind before I forget. That's probably all that I didn't mind.
But if that's not a 1.5. If you don't mind a song.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
That's a 2.
No.
Wait.
No.
You don't understand the ratings.
That's not, it's 1 out of 6. Or it's 1.5 out of 6 is what I'm giving this. I know people are going to be mad that I'm saying this. It's just not for me. And somebody criticized me in the comments of this, like in our things, by saying that I have the taste of a mom or whatever, which is bullshit. But hey, moms are cool. So I'm not offended by that, you piece of shit. I think that this is devil music. giving it anything more would upset the Lord. And it's not my jam. But I do understand the talent. Like I get why his voice is interesting, and I don't hate his voice. It's just not music that clicks with me. And I also think that having us listen to that 15-minute song was bullshit. And I love you, Nikki. 1.5 is going to be my score. But yeah, it's I could before I listened to this playlist, I would have given it like a zero. So you did your job in bumping it up a little bit. Tommy, what do you think?
I think this band does not deserve a number. I think they are zero, and I think they are filth.
Oh, shit.
But because it is my year of generosity, I'm still giving them a zero because I think they would like it.
I'm glad you said that because I was going to have to lower my score to balance yours out, but I don't have to do that this week. Nikki, what do you give this playlist?
I'm going
to
give this a 6, 6, 6 out of 6.
Shit. You mean out of 8?
Out of 13 or whatever the fuck. You gave us as many songs as there are fucking band members in this dumbass shit.
I thought I could change your mind on this, and I clearly was unable.
You just gave us the entire discography to listen to.
I actually did not pull from 3 albums that I have never heard in my life.
Nice.
Nikki, thanks so much for coming on the
show.
You're
the best.
You guys for having me.
You're a delight. You're maybe the only person I would have allowed to do this band and make us listen to this because you're a sweet man with God's plan in your heart. Tommy, what you got anything to plug over there?
So this will come out tomorrow.
Yeah.
If you're in New York, come see me at CYSK.
Oh, hell yeah. Go to that show. It's a good time. I will be at Caroline's on Broadway all of this weekend. I'm actually doing 2 shows there Thursday. I'm doing Kelsey Kane and Martin Urbano and Jack Comstock show there at, I believe, 10 p.m. But I'm also going to be with Nikki Glaser Thursday through Sunday. Get tickets at carolines.com. And I think if you tweet it, you up at you up SXM, by tomorrow, you can get free tickets for one of the shows, like the Thursday or Sunday. So do that. Check out me and Nikki's radio show too on SiriusXM, you up with Nikki Glaser. I'm going to get my name in there by the end of this show. I'll tell you
by the end of this podcast.
Yeah, by the end of this podcast, my name's going to be the headliner of that show.
Tom Takkar presents you up with Nikki Glaser.
Nikki, you got anything you want to plug?
Sure.
Chuck.
Chicago Underground Comedy every single Tuesday.
The TV
at
the
kitchen.
Shows.
The
TV
Thank
show,
you,
Chuck.
Comedy.
You can watch it.
It's Chuck on NBC about the guy who is in the CIA or something. Yeah. No, we call it Chicago Underground Comedy. It's every Tuesday. And then if you want to find me online, they said it before, but it's at Piss Mistress. Thanks.
Hell yeah. Follow Tommy at Tommy McNam. I'm at Tom Takkar, or Tommy Takkar, sorry. We are on Patreon at Stand By Your Band. Patreon.com, something like that. Patreon.com/Stand By Your Band. That's it. Rate and review us if you're liking the pod. We love that. We appreciate all the reviews that we've gotten, mostly the positive ones. But yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Keep it crispy.